Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for the fifth Sunday in Lent. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This is God's word. Those of you who've been coming to our Thursday morning Bible study on the liturgy, I think, have had a real eye-opening experience on learning what worship is really about. And for those of you who haven't been there, let me tell you, you've been missing a really neat experience. And talk to someone who goes to it, and they can tell you about it. What we've been talking about is sort of these two different attitudes that exist towards what it is that we do here in this church on Sunday morning. In fact, the word we do often use to describe this is worship. It's a little bit of a misleading word, though, because worship is something that we do toward God. And that is often how we think of Sunday morning, isn't it? We come here, we give God our prayers, our praise, our thanks, our offerings and tithes. Yes, that certainly does happen. But the first Lutherans, the Reformers, had a very different way of thinking about Sunday morning and the gathering of God's people. They called their worship on Sunday morning, they had a German word. It's always fun to learn an old German word. Gottesdienst, which means God's service. Divine service. It's what we call what we do on Sunday morning. Divine service. Because rather than it being all about what we're trying to offer up to God, instead, it's about what God delivers down here to you and me. His forgiveness, his gift of eternal life, his promise of salvation, his Son's body and blood. So when we give our prayers and our praise and our offerings and our thanks, it's our response first and foremost to what God is giving to us, divine service. All three of our readings this morning have this emphasis of a God who gives things to his people. Our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah 31, "They shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more." Our epistle from Hebrews chapter 5 that speaks of Jesus as the great high priest of God's people. "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence." Jesus, the sacrifice on our behalf. And then our gospel from Mark 10. "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." The God of the Christian faith is fundamentally different than all the false gods of the world. Because nearly every other god requires you to give him your devotion, your prayers, your holiness, your faithfulness, your dedication. Only the God of the Christian faith, the God who works through the Son, Jesus Christ, is a God that pours out blessing and gifts, forgiveness, life, and salvation freely given and poured out upon the world. We see this contrast of two different attitudes towards God and reaching him and the connection we have with him in our gospel. When you have James and John, two brothers, sons of Zebedee, disciples of Jesus, and they wanted to, in a sense, find a way to heaven to secure their place. And so they say, Lord, teacher, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in glory. Their thinking is twofold. And it's sadly a thinking that too many of us fall for as well. If I follow Jesus, then I can get something from Jesus. That's how we think, isn't it? If I follow Jesus, like James and John gave up their fishing nets and their life as fishermen to follow Jesus, then he will give me something good in return. But Jesus turns that thinking on its head. Instead, what we do is we first receive from Jesus the gifts he gives to us, so that we then in turn can give them to others. How many of us are thinking like James and John? Well, if I follow Jesus, if I worship God and I do good things, then God in turn will give me good things. That's the James and John approach. That's the wicked, self-centered approach. And isn't it how we've been trained to think about Sunday morning? If I start my week off with my hour for God, then in return, God's going to give me good things during the week. If I give God this, then I will get that. Jesus says, here's how it works. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Suffering and death. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Humility. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our Sunday morning is not our tip of the hat towards God to say, God, I know you're there. See, here I am, Lord. I'm here. I'm starting off my week with you. See how faithful I am. I put you first. I'm going to tell you, if that's your approach, I hate to break it to you, just stay home on Sunday morning, because God doesn't need your hour. God gets by just fine when you're not in the pew on Sunday morning. But let me tell you this, you need what he is here to give you. This is not your sacrifice to God. This is God's sacrifice for you. Blood freely poured. Body and blood given in bread and wine. Forgiveness free. Without any sacrifice on your part. God doesn't need your hour. God doesn't need your prayers. He doesn't need your praise. He doesn't need your offerings. But you need what he gives. And if that causes you to see fit to respond to him, then thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, you are here to receive what our Lord gives freely, because he is the Son of Man. He doesn't come to be served. He comes to serve you. He comes to give you everything, all of himself, even his own life. Our way of selfishness and wickedness says, you know, if I give God my worship, he'll give me good things during the week. The way of Christ, the Son of Man, says, I receive his gifts for me. Now I, in turn, have a gift to share with others. We love because he first loved us, John writes in 1 John 4. The same John who asked to sit at God's right hand, he says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Having received God's love in Jesus Christ, Our response is then to thank God for what he's given, and now in turn, show that same love and mercy to those around us, the people sitting next to you in the pews this morning, those who maybe have some kind of loose connection with the church, but they're not here. They need that love. Those who have no connection with the church whatsoever, they need that love, that gift that's been poured out for you this morning. That's really how the church works. We receive God's love poured out on the cross in Christ. He serves you, and you in turn serve others. And then others come to know the love of Jesus Christ. I think it was Luther who said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. You have been given this morning in the Word, in the sacrament that will be given to you shortly. You are being given something of incomparable value, something worth more than anything on this earth, because it is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, given and shed for you. Ask yourself, what is it that God wants from me? When I come here into his house, what is it that I should give him? He tells you, actually, in his word, Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Jesus says in John chapter 6, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's your worship, that you come to God and bring him your sins, your guilt, your shame, and that you believe in the one that he sent to buy your forgiveness, your life, and your salvation. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This morning, you, servants of God, yes, are here to be served by the one who is the great servant, the suffering servant, the one who pours out his own life and his own blood, that you would be ransomed from sin and have forgiveness, life, and salvation. You know, in the scriptures, heaven, the eternal kingdom which we all await, is described as a wedding feast, a wedding banquet, where Christ, the bridegroom, is married to his bride, the church. That's who we are. We're the bride. And at a wedding feast, the bride is not meant to run around serving others. It's her day of celebration. It's her day of enjoying rich food and wine and drink and gifts in the presence of so many other people that they love. That's a picture of what heaven is. And that's exactly what you get this morning. A taste of the feast that is to come, where you are here not to show your service and devotion and commitment, because you know what? It'll never be enough. But rather, to receive the service of the one who loves you, who not only is the one who dies for you to give you a place at that banquet, but is the very meal himself, his body and his blood. Let me tell you this, having received those things this morning, knowing how much God has loved you, then ask yourself, how do I now in turn carry out his role for me here in this world? How do I love my neighbor and in so doing love him? Because he first loved me. God's peace be with all of you, beloved children of God, through the blood of the Son of Man who comes to serve you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.